Welcome to the Abilu Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
It's as quiet as the church in here. Would you all please stand for just a moment? Thank you all for being here. Heavenly Father, it's been so good to be in your presence tonight. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for walking among us and freeing us. Thank you for speaking to us by your Spirit, drawing us close to you in worship. Thank you for the Father's love that we feel extended to us by being in your presence and being with each other. Bless our church family tonight, Father. I pray that you just use me to just speak a word of encouragement. And I pray that you would cause each of us to grow and move closer to you tonight, Father, in knowing you and trusting you deeper. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. 7.5 months ago, something rather remarkable took place. Our lives were impacted by a catastrophic roof collapse. How many would say that that kind of caught you by surprise? Hello. Yeah. How many would say that there's been a bunch of surprises since then? Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, our lives, all of our lives individually, are a part of a story. Each of your life is a story. God is writing the story of your life. And all of your lives are woven together in the story that God is writing about Abilu Community Chapel, Inc. Abilu Community Church. And so all of us are being woven together as part of God's story. And we're being woven into the big story, God's story. And life is a journey. It's not just events. We remember events. We can do timelines. We can remember birthdays and anniversaries and significant events and roof collapses and things like that. But it's all part of the life of a journey, the life of a story that God is writing. And on this journey, you don't know all the places it will take you. We had no idea the places that this journey would take us. And in the last 7 months, you have no idea some of the journeys this story has taken us. Some of the places. It reminds me of that Dr. Seuss book. Oh, the places you'll see. Some of the places we've seen in the last 7 months have been pretty amazing. But each day is a part of the journey, and each day is filled with parts of the story that God is writing. And every day is different. And you never know from the moment that you wake up in the morning what the day will hold. None of us, as we woke up on that morning, knew that we would be facing what we did that evening. Every day is just a little bit different. It's all part of the journey. It could be sunny or you could have a tornado. You might have a birthday prize, a birthday party, you might get fired. You just never know. Every day is full of surprises. And life unfolds like this drama every single day. Each year could be a chapter in your life, a chapter in your novel, and it could be a tragedy, sometimes a comedy, sometimes a dramedy, which is a little bit of a between a comedy and a drama. But there's something that I've noticed that in this journey we call life, there's things that come along at times that surprise us. There's this element of surprise. There's this element of tension that occurs through all kinds of different sources. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, you guys, you look like a cow at a new gate. Come on, work with me here. Okay? You guys have been surprised. Anybody here ever been surprised? Anybody surprised this week? Okay, I'm talking to the right people. Okay, take a deep breath. We won't be long. Okay. Everybody must have had a big nap this afternoon. But there's a very important human emotional response that we have, and that is the element of surprise. And sometimes we like the element of surprise when it's a birthday surprise. Sometimes we don't like the element of a surprise when you hear these siren behind you and you see lights flashing in your rearview mirror. Oh, there's all kinds of surprises that take place. A surprise is something that will amaze you. A surprise is something that can catch you unaware. A surprise is something that will give you something unexpectedly. A gift or a tragedy unexpectedly. Now, some people I know don't like surprises. They just don't like surprise parties. Don't surprise me. If you have something, just tell me. Don't surprise me. Okay? Anybody here like that? You don't like surprises. Someone popping out of a closet. Surprise! Okay. But there's some of you that love surprises. And some of you hate surprises. But surprises come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. You can get fired from your job. You can get a promotion. They're both surprising. You can say, I'm leaving home to go to school. We're going to separate for a while and kind of work things out. You've been chosen to receive an award. You have a medical condition. All of these are surprises. Things come to us all the time. Every week, every month, every year, we get inundated with surprises. Some of them are small surprises. We hear from an old friend. Some of them are big surprises. I never saw that one coming. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Life is full of surprises. And when we get good surprises, we be happy. We like good surprises. You're getting a raise. You're getting a bonus. Here's a check. Look what I found. All kinds of surprises. But sometimes surprises aren't so happy. Sometimes things happen that cause us to be surprised in a sad way, or in a confused way, or a fearful or anxious, or our faith is tested and we're shocked or probably hurt or angry or confused or thinking, what? What just happened? Say that again. I don't think I got that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Life can kind of bring us some surprises sometimes that we wish would not be our surprise. I'd rather this go to the next person. Thank you. There used to be an old television show, Let's Make a Deal. There's three doors. Door number one, door number two, door number three. Which one do you want? Door number one, door number two, door number three. It could be a trip to London for four for 2 weeks, or it could be a cow. You just never know. Surprise! Oh, dang, it's a cow. What am I going to do with a cow? But many things have the capacity to produce that element of surprise in us. The element of surprise comes through people. People will surprise you. Sometimes in a good way, sometimes in not so good a way. Events will surprise you. Circumstances will surprise you. Situations can surprise you. And sometimes you're going to get surprised by something and you are not going to know why it happened until heaven. In Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord, but to the Lord our God. But the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of His law. There are some things that we are going to be experiencing that will surprise us, that we'll not understand until we see Jesus face to face. So we just have to be patient and understand that someday, perhaps I'll understand, or perhaps it won't even matter. But we sometimes feel that life is not predictable. Anybody ever feel like that? You know, the older I get, the more surprises I get, good and bad, the more I realize the less I can predict what's going to happen. You just get to a place where you think, I thought I could kind of figure out, at least to a certain degree of accuracy, what's going to happen next. You ever watch a movie and it's like, whoa, I never saw that coming. You read a story, you hear something in a relationship, never saw that one coming. Sometimes things happen that just are so unpredictable. And one of the first things people ask when they're surprised about something is why? Why? Why did this happen? Why did this happen to us? Why did this happen now? Why didn't this happen to someone else? You know, the questions go on and on and on. If you would please open your Bibles to the epistle of 1 Peter, chapter 4. I want to just look at just a brief verse for a moment to help us understand that question that always seems to be in the back of our minds, or sometimes the front of our minds, when we're facing surprises of many kinds. We're facing things that surprise us, things that catch us off guard. And we ask the question, why? Where is God in all of this? Why did this happen? Why me? Why now? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering. Okay, what that tells me is, if it's telling us not to be surprised at a painful trial, it's usually because we are always surprised at painful trials. Otherwise, he wouldn't say, don't be surprised, because we would say, it's a painful trial, I'm not surprised. Because I understand painful trials always come with God's permission, with God's intention. But here he's telling them, don't be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Oh my goodness! What's happening? Don't be surprised. It's nothing weird. It's nothing weird. It happens to everyone in their journey. This is part of your story. Painful trials. Get used to disappointment. No, it's not like that wasn't God's attitude. That was my own. Sorry. I'm not trying to misrepresent the Lord in this. But don't be surprised in this painful trial as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Now, why is it telling us to rejoice that we participate in the sufferings of Christ? Because typically, when we are experiencing the sufferings of Christ, we don't rejoice. We are surprised. We are shocked. We can't imagine why this painful thing would happen to us, of all people. Am I talking to the right folks? But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. So here's how it works. Painful trial, I'm not surprised. God is up to something. Is that our typical response? No, our typical response is we're surprised. So we look in the scripture. What does that say? Oh yeah, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering. Okay, all right, God understands this. Okay. As though something strange were happening. Rejoice. Okay, I'm going to rejoice. I'm rejoicing in the sufferings of Christ because God says he's up to something good. See, one of the things that I've found is that life will bring us some surprises. Life is very unpredictable. Even when you walk with Jesus, there's things that happen to us that we never saw coming. Good things, too. That's a whole other message. We're surprised by the grace of God when he forgives us over and over and over again, when he empowers us. We're surprised when we pray for someone to be healed and they are. Oh, my goodness, you got healed? That's amazing. I prayed for you. And you, oh, I guess it's supposed to work like that. We're surprised by the grace of God, just as we are surprised by the painful trials and the sufferings we face. But I've come to understand that there's something that we cannot predict our story. We can look back on certain past history, but we can't predict our future story. They try to predict all kinds of things based on historical data. But you can't with accuracy predict how the rest of your story is going to play out. How much longer do we have on this planet? What's going to be your experience in the next 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? What we cannot predict with any accuracy what's coming. It's unpredictable. We cannot know that. That leaves us in a place of real insecurity, doesn't it? But I can tell you this with certainty. Even though you may not know what surprises are coming, you can know Jesus with all your heart. You may not know what the future may hold, but you can know who holds that future. Yeah. I didn't invent that, but it really sounds cool. Yeah. Because it's true. And Paul the Apostle understood, and Peter the Apostle understood, and the writers of the scriptures understood that you cannot always predict what's going to happen in the life journey of a Christian. But you can predict something else. You can know him. One of the most important life lessons we can learn from the many surprises in life is that we can know the Lord. It doesn't mean that we fully understand him or we fully understand all of the surprises that come our way, but it does mean that we can know him. And if you don't know the reason why something happens, but if you know who's handling the ship, that's okay. You can handle the storm. I don't know why we're in this storm, but if Jesus is at the wheel, I'm doing okay. Living as a follower of Christ is a journey or a path that leads us to knowing Christ. And when we experience surprises, that's the petri dish of learning to know him in a deeper way. Paul said in Philippians, "What is more, I consider everything a loss." Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Paul said, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus." Knowing Christ and being found in him. I want to know Christ. If you know Christ, something happens when those surprises come. You're not as surprised. You're not as taken aback. You're not as shocked when the surprises come because you know Christ. There's something about knowing him that causes you to say, okay, I don't understand what's happening. I don't know what's going on, but God is good and God has taken me through this. I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul talked about knowing Christ, but what does it really mean to know Christ? It means to know him, not just about him. You can know about someone, a historical character, but to really know them in a personal way is to understand that person and experience them in a personal way. If you want to get to know me, you have to spend time with me. You have to see me in different contexts. You have to see how I act when I'm under pressure. Then you can really get to know me, when you can see the real me. You can't see me in a sterile environment when the real part of me isn't coming through. To know me is to come to know by experience personally and intimately, by spending time with them, watching how they respond, watching what's important to them, watching how they treat other people. Jesus' followers got an opportunity to experience that personally. They watched how he treated the widow. They watched how he treated the children. They watched how he treated the leper. They watched how he treated the Pharisees and the hypocrites. They watched it and they knew experientially and intimately what he was like. To know the Lord on a deep level will change us. When I know Jesus, when I know God, when I know the Father, when I understand what his character is like, it gives me confidence when I come up to the precipice of those surprises that come in my life. The things that come in that want to just knock us down and keep us down, if I know God, if I know what he's like, then it helps me to have stability and security and strength in these times of uncertainty. Does that make sense? There's political uncertainty in our nation. There's financial uncertainty. There's all kinds of things that can cause us to be shaken to our core. We can be surprised at the way things went last week. Or we can say, I'm going to pursue knowing the Lord because that's where my stability comes from. It doesn't come from who has the majority in the House and the Senate. It comes from knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and him crucified. And understanding the character and the nature of God. What is God like? Is God just like a puppet master who's just making all these things happen to us and shooting surprises at us and tripping us up and doing? Is God like that? Is he like some big flaming head on the Wizard of Oz? Great and powerful Oz has spoken. Or is he some little wimpy man behind the curtain? You know, what is God? Either one of those. What is God really like? And when the storms come and the surprises come, that's when it's really good to know what God is really, really like. You need to understand, like it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power at work with us. Okay, can God fix this? Oh yeah, my God has the ability to make it happen. But how's he gonna, he can make it happen. You can't even imagine how God can make it happen. He can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. That's a pretty big order. immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. God has, that's a pretty big God. That's what I want to put my confidence in. That kind of God. The kind of God that has that kind of ability. Or how about the God of comfort? What happens when you feel surprised and you feel saddened and confused and you don't know which way is up because of some issue that went on in your life? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. When your heart is breaking, when you've lost someone that you love. Last summer, my older brother, who's a year older than I, died quite suddenly, and I experienced a great deal of loss. But in that time of that untimely death, I felt the comfort of God because God was with me. And I felt God's comfort as he was with me as I traveled down there and as I officiated my own brother's funeral with my brothers and sisters in the audience. I felt God's comfort in a way that I had never felt before. That's how God is when we're surprised. We can experience the fatherhood of God. Psalm 68, verse 5. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. If you feel alone, come and sit near him because he's a father to the fatherless. He's a defender of the widow. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. The kind of God we serve is a God who's gentle with us. He understands our weaknesses. He understands where we need to be encouraged. He understands our feebleness. We have the goodness of God. Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. We see the justice of God. Psalm 98, verse 9. Sing before the Lord. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. God is a righteous judge. And he's bringing a righteous judgment upon our world. And we can be confident in that kind of a ruler. A righteous ruler. One that we can put our confidence in. We could go on and on and on about the characteristics and the faithfulness and the character of God. But when life causes us to be surprised, we need to make sure that we know him. That we know Jesus Christ. That we know God the Father. That we pursue understanding what he's like. He's not going to take us beyond what we can handle. He's not going to take us someplace that has no meaning in it. Everything happens for a purpose, and God will take us there in his timing. Through every surprise, whether it's from a person or an event or a circumstance, we learn more and more about the character and the nature of God. And we can learn about God. We can study about him. We can see how God treated people in the scriptures. We can talk to others and interview people and see, how did God deal with you in your life? How has God dealt with you in your past? What has God done in your life? What has God spoken to you? How has God dealt with you? But each one of us individually, as part of our life story, we need to get to that place where we individually put our confidence and trust in him. I can't rest on the confidence and trust of others. I have to have my own faith and trust in him. We learn about God, but we must learn to trust in God. Trusting is not the same as believing in God. You can believe in God, but not trust in him. The demons believe in God, but they don't put their trust in him. So there's one thing to believe in him, but it's a whole other thing when you trust in him. There are times in life when believing God's promises is easy. Got enough money in the bank, got the bills paid, got food in the fridge, gas in the tank, got a warm coat, doing good. Trusted God, and all of a sudden things change, and everything is upside down. When he's doing great things in our midst, when he's blessing us with a healthy family and life is good, in times like these, it's easy to say, I believe in God. I trust God. But then when the surprises come, whoa, I used to trust God. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When tough times come, when life brings us some surprises, we're not sure that we can take that step from knowing Christ to fully placing our faith or our trust in him. And this is where the rubber really meets the road for us in our journey with Christ. You can look back on your journey and say, that's where I was walking with Jesus. That's where I was pursuing knowing him. After that happened, this is where I had a hard time trusting God in the future. Some people's lives, you can put a mark on their timeline. After that happened, me and God were not talking. And we have to know him deeply enough and know what he's like and know what his character is so that when those things happen, we can say, I don't understand, but I still trust you. I'm still moving forward with you. I don't know where you're taking me, but I'm still moving forward with you. Don't doubt in the darkness what God spoke to you in the light. When God spoke to you and said, I'll always be with you, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And then all of a sudden you're going, whoa, instrument flying, can't see the mountains. Where are you, God? Don't doubt in darkness what you heard in the light. God still says, I will be with you. Just wait a minute. Don't run. You'll hit a wall. Okay, wait for me. Sometimes in our darkness we go, God, where are you? We go into a full-bore linear panic and run into a tree. God says, just sit down for a minute and wait. I'll be there. But we just kind of want to be on our own and take life in our own hands. But it somehow seems easier to put our trust in God when life is good, when things are going quite predictably. But when the surprises come, that's when the trust level becomes tested. What do you do when what you believe about God is driving along? You got the green light, driving along in what you believe about God, and all of a sudden you get T-boned from a red light runner. And what you thought would happen didn't happen. Or things you never expected to happen did happen. One of the first questions people ask is, where is God? How come I didn't see this coming? Sometimes faith is looking in the rearview mirror, not the windshield. You can't always see it. Sometimes it's a step of faith. It's like when you put your foot on the water, then the water will move. Well, can you put a bridge up first? Be a little easier, or at least a log we can walk on. It's something where we don't have to trust. You know, is there something we can do besides that? You know. But when we're surprised by people. And brothers and sisters, people will surprise you. People will surprise you. Sometimes they'll surprise you with an amazing amount of mercy and grace. And sometimes they'll surprise you in other ways. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, James, the Lord's brother, the apostle James, the head of the church in Jerusalem, he said this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you have enough money in the bank, when you have enough food in the fridge, when the kids are serving Jesus, when you just got that new suit and it fits you really good, when the weather's warm. No, that's not what it says. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, why would it say that? Because it's likely that our first knee-jerk reaction is not to consider it pure joy. Or even consider it a little joy. Or even be smirking about it. We're mad. What's going on here? What's the deal? I paid my tithe, now I'm facing these financial trials. I prayed this morning and my kids are acting like monkeys. What's going on? But he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. There's a cyclical pattern here. When you walk with Jesus in your journey for a while, you've seen some trials and you realize that they were designed by God to test your faith and develop your perseverance. And they give you a little bit more strength for the journey, a little bit more energy for the path. And you understand that when you consider it pure joy, you know that God is at work in you and he's developing perseverance in you and character in you. And so you become encouraged about that. And so every time something happens, your first response is not like, oh, not again. But it can actually be, okay, Lord, so soon, but here we go. Let's do this thing. Consider it pure joy. When the scripture has a mandate like that, it assumes that we don't usually do that. And so we have to be instructed. Consider it pure joy. Pure joy. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because it will help build your faith, develop your perseverance. So then next time, you get to joy a little quicker. You get a little more faith, a little more perseverance. And the next time, pretty soon, remember Bob Mumford told about a guy comes home, sees his house burning down. He goes, God must be in this. Like, what? That's a guy who can count it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. And his insurance must have been paid up. Trust in the Lord and do good, Psalm 37 says. Dwell on the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. As we go through life's story, as we find surprises that come along, it drives us to know him deeper. It drives us to know him better. It causes us to grow and trust in him, even when I don't know the way ahead. Even when I can't see the path, even when I get into a snowblind situation where I can't see the path, I still can trust in him. We are sometimes faced with walking in the valley between what you believe to be true about God and your ability to really trust him in the midst of overwhelming adversity. That's where you say, God, give me the grace to respond as your child in this situation. How do we trust God when we can't seem to understand what's going on? How do we remain faithful when it seems God is far away? When we're left in confusion, we look to God, we look to his spirit, we look to his word, we look to other people who've been down the journey a little further than us. We struggle moving from what we believe to be true about God to really putting our faith and trust in him in these difficult situations. You must make a choice to live honestly and just say, God, I'm having a hard time with this. I want to count it pure joy. I don't want to be surprised. I know you're a good God. I'm simply having a difficult time persevering. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. And God will respond to that kind of honesty. Making the decision to live your life honestly means that sometimes you'll be in confusion. Sometimes you'll say, you know, people say, how you doing? How's things in your life? That's a hard question to answer sometimes. Do I go into detail? Really? Now? Here? On the bus? Right in front of everybody? You know, do I talk at the grocery store? I mean, it's embarrassing sometimes when people ask you how you're doing and it's at a big public place and everyone's looking at you waiting for your answer. Oh, good, good. And you got right on. Don't ask. It's hard to know how to answer sometimes when you're struggling with stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
How you doing in your life? I'm hanging by the tips of my fingernails. And you? You might not know what God is up to, but you've walked with God for a long time and you have been through some tough stuff and you know that God will take you through this and you'll be stronger for it. You can't always say that in a quick little cliche when you see somebody in the store. But you can just say, I'm lashed to the mast. I can't steer this sucker anymore, but I'm lashed to the mast. Jesus has taken us through. In 1 Peter chapter 6, it takes it a step further. First, it says, don't be surprised as though something strange were happening to you. Painful trials happen to all of us on our journey. It's just part of life. You'll get used to it. They're great. They'll help you be more like Jesus. I don't think I ever got that pep talk. Because I was surprised. I still am. But then it says, consider it pure joy. So, okay, all right, first of all, don't be surprised. Now consider it pure joy. Then Peter takes it a step further. In this you greatly rejoice. What are you guys, some kind of nuts? Are you in some denial or something? You're walking around, oh, all these great tribulations. Oh, perseverance. Oh, I'm just getting to know Jesus better. Really? There's a point where common sense comes in here and you have to act like a decent human being so people don't think you're goofy. But you gotta wrestle with these kind of things. When the scripture says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. What's a little while? Like 30 years, actually. That's what a little while means. About 30 years. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, about 30 years, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. And these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. So at the end of this 30-year test, you're going to come out shiny.
Nice.
No flaws. You're going to be smooth. You're going to be high-priced gold. But in the journey, in the life story that God is writing about us, surprises come. It drives us to knowing Christ. Knowing Christ causes us to trust Him more. Trusting Him more causes us to say, Lord, I really want to get to the place where I'm not surprised when painful trials come. I really want to be that kind of a person who's not just so heavenly minded that there's no earthly good. I don't want to be some person who's so spiritual that you can't even talk about life together. I want to be real. I want to be my feet planted on solid terra firma, but my heart is with the kingdom of God. I want to be a person that someone can come up and talk to and find that I'm a real person. And I go through real stuff. And I've been through some things that I didn't understand, but I still have faith and trust in God, and He's taken me someplace. That's the kind of person I want to be. I want to be somebody who's rooted and grounded in knowing Christ and trusting Him, even though I don't know what's coming. And when those things come, go back and say, okay, help me not to be so surprised, Lord. Help me to consider pure joy and help me to greatly rejoice because I know that you're up to something and you're up to something good. Brother Scott, could you come on back up? I'd like us just to take a few moments and just let this kind of sink in a little bit as we just focus on the Lord. Life is full of surprises. That's something that all of us have to understand. We think that as we walk in faith and trust that nothing's going to happen that's going to surprise us or catch us unaware. That's simply not true. We're going to get surprises. But the good news is that even though you don't know what's coming, you can know the one who holds it all together. You can know the one who has the ability to get you through. You can know the one who has the grace to see you through that difficult situation. There is a path to knowing Christ in the midst of any hardship and difficulty and circumstance and trial. You can still know Him. That's the confidence we have. I don't know what's coming, but I do know that I can know Christ. That gives us security. That gives us confidence. Don't let that lead you to confusion or bitterness, but rather to a deeper faith in a God who is still at work in you. A God who is a good God. He's not going to lead you someplace and He's not going to harm you. He's going to bring you into a place that's going to have life. And He's going to transform you. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love Him. He never tells us how He will work together all those things. How is this going to work out? I don't know. But God just said He will. How's God ever going to make anything out of our church again? How are we ever going to be able to grow as a church again? How are we ever going to... I don't know how... But I know that it will. I know that God is a good God. And He didn't just allow this to happen for no reason. God has purpose in all things. This is all part of our story. Part of His story. Part of history. It's all part of what God is doing in us, with us, and through us. Sometimes even in spite of us. Spurgeon said, God is too good to be unkind. He is too wise to be confused. If I cannot trace his hand, I can always trust his heart. I love that quote. Because friends, I tell you, in my journey, I've been walking with the Lord for about 38, 39 years now. There's been times where I could not see his hand, but I knew I could trust his heart. There was times where I thought, God, I don't know what in the world you're up to. This seems more than I can handle. But I believe you're a good God and you're going to get us through this. And that's the confidence that we have in knowing him and placing our trust in him. We do not know the purpose. We do not often know the purpose. But we can trust in his character. He's sovereign. And nothing happens for no reason. God is a God of purpose. Amen. And he's taking us into a place where he's going to be glorified. And we're going to know him in a deeper way. And trust him in a deeper place. And become more like him. Do you want that? I want that too. Would you all stand? Heavenly Father, thank you for this place that you're taking us. Thank you for this life journey that we're on. Thank you that you have allowed us to follow you and to serve you. And you have allowed us to come along on this journey. And you're shaping us to become more like your son, Jesus. And you're leading us into those places that you want us to be. And you're building your church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You are doing something in our midst, Lord. We glorify you. We worship you. Father, help each one of us to not be surprised at the things that happen, but to grow in our knowledge and understanding and our experience and our relationship with you. Bless your people, Father, as we move forward into the purposes of God at Abbot Luke Community Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. I thought about sneaking up on you while you were praying. Just being right there. Surprise! But then I remembered I wasn't in junior high anymore, so I didn't do it. Hey, this next week, this whole week, this is a bittersweet service for me. I'm very excited about what God is going to do this whole week and what's going to happen this weekend. But I'm actually sad to leave ACC. And then I'm also glad to leave ACC and sad and glad. And I want to let you know that we had a beautiful service here earlier today. And Pastor Richards, both Richards, junior and senior, both prayed for us. And Judith Green had a word for our church. It was very powerful and very meaningful time. And they gave us a gift, a beautiful painting of the city. And really felt like the Lord had just spoken to them that our ministry together has a significant meaning and purpose in our city, especially to the lost. And I want to encourage you that I really believe that word is for us. And that also Judith had this beautiful word that she had seen that the enemy had been attacking our church and nipping around it, like at our heels. And that there was like a purse that was snatched and held at the top. And she had felt that for some time, but through this experience and us going back, that she just saw that the Holy Spirit just opening that up and releasing the grip of the enemy over our church and whatever that means in significance. She really felt that it was about us prospering as a church and our effectiveness, not just financially, but as a whole. And so I've been feeling very strongly in my heart that God has galvanized us as a body. And sometimes you wonder, like, how are people going to respond when they see a surprise? Right? And you've seen how we respond as leaders in a surprise, and we've seen how you respond as people. And that does something to us. Pastor Brad and I were talking this week and encouraging one another and kind of like, wouldn't want to be going through this with anybody else, you know? And just even talking to one another and remembering the, you know, decade plus that we've had now in leadership together, it has done something in the trust bucket, in our trust relationship with one another. And I believe that for our whole church. This is a significant week. Let's be in great. Let's be thankful all week and grateful. Anything you can do or say or write a note to the leaders at ACC or the church at ACC, I encourage you to do that. And just even walk it by, put it in the mail, whatever you have to do. And let's leave really, really grateful. These guys really blessed us in a huge way. This week there's a lot of work to be done at our church. Anytime between 10 and 4 o'clock that you want to come by and help us move stuff, organize things, polish, clean. We got a lot of cleaning to do. We would love to have you come by and help us do that between 10 and 4 anytime this week. Even Saturday, we have a work party on Saturday. Don't know the exact time, but we need to know when the chairs exactly are coming in. We're going to unpack those things and do it. Dan and Jess Stark, I'm so glad you're here. Will you raise your hand? There they are, Stark Raving Solutions. They are the ones that are putting in all of our audio and video equipment. And they did our auditorium before. They know what they're doing. And, hey, don't you think we need to install a center projector right here at ACC? Right, Dan? You were thinking that, weren't you? Okay. We'll work on that this week, maybe. We'll try to bless them. Okay, whatever. So be praying for us. We got a lot to do. And bring a friend to church. Look, God's called our church to advance in this season. We're not retreating. God has called us to advance and move forward and lead people to Christ. And so reach out. Build relationship with non-believers and bring them to church. Bring them on Sunday. Bring them on Saturday night. We're going to have an awesome time. And come ready to party. Come ready to celebrate. Right? We've got a great, huge celebration service planned, services planned for Saturday and for Sunday. And man, come ready to have fun. Come ready to worship and thank God for all that He's done. Because in the middle of this surprise, He's grown us. He has changed us. He's transformed us. He's galvanized us, right? He has given us a firm foundation for our future. So I love you, church. Have a blessed week. We'll see you all week this week, hopefully, on the church property, as well as Saturday night and Sunday morning. Amen. God bless you. Drive safe.